Yeah, so I'm ill prepared. I notice that there are clipboards and clips and all kinds of things to hold. So I may just drop these on the floor as I after I read. I'm not going to make much of an introduction. I'm reading prose tonight, and the title of these paragraphs is My Life in Noir Films. They were documentary, an archive. In them, I could behold everything I had ever beheld, the mood, the violence, even the famous visual signatures were not simply a style. They were a record of lived experience. My childhood happened in black and white, and like noir films, was oneric, strange, erotic, ambivalent, and cruel. During the late 40s and in the 50s, my mother and I lived in our own, in a small residential hotel in a small damp city. The Cold War was all around us. I loved the feel of entrapment. There was a bedroom and a sitting room with a hot plate, a simple shut-in space, a door closing, a pipe with a noise inside it running across the ceiling. All the windows faced other windows and stared into mine. I was glad I was not safe. My mother was a single working mother in the 1950s. World War II had barely ended. There was no childcare for families like ours. There were no families like ours. When my mother traveled, I was left with friends, acquaintances, the ill-tempered and resentful family of a cleaning woman, where I slept on a canvas World War II cot used to transport the wounded. My mother's parents owned the Collins Hotel on US Route 80 in Ely, Nevada. The lobbies and hallways were tiled with black and white linoleum and lit with dim sconces. Each room contained an iron bedstead, a deal dresser, a sink. The windows were decked out with the same jaundiced blinds that hung in my friend Maria's windows. I saw this room time and again at the movies, where the camera seemed to be waiting for me in that empty room. My mother was out of work, and we were living in one of the hotel's vacancies. There was the whitewashed bedstead and the headboard, whose iron bars had a Romanesque curve. A chenille spread nearly bald from my picking out the threads, and a dish filled with pinion nuts on the deal dresser. I loved the idleness of my life at that time. I was not bothered by having to play with other children. There were no other children. I was deliriously alone and surrounded by adults. I would follow the maid on her rounds, trailing from room to room, a small, avid voyeur with a shaky handheld camera of my attentiveness. Aside from my grandmother, my mother, and the maid, I saw no women at the hotel, except for one. In her room, over the end of the unmade bed, hung a battered pair of white underpants, its core stained a deep red. The image was biblical, a shroud with a bloody mark, and the odor of the body was powerful. The maid opened a window, swabbed out the sink, and left. I was impressed by the way the room seemed untouchable, the way I would later feel seeing the dioramas at the Museum of Natural History. The next day, I saw that woman wearing men's khaki pants and flannel shirt, standing in the lobby with my grandfather, who was dropping quarters into her outstretched hand. After that, the window closes forever. The war ended in 1945. I was born in 1949. At some point, my mother bought a house on a working class street in post-war America, and we lived there with my father, a Jew in exile from New York City, where he had shared a cold water flat with Zero Mostel. We had few relatives. They had died in Buchenwald, and the Russian grandfathers had been tied to horses and dragged to death across the steppes. They were that burden of history we were lugging God knows where. In Denver, my father's makeshift studio was a brick garage beside a brick incinerator where we burned our sour-smelling trash. He had to hold his life drawing classes there, low-ceilinged, windowless, unheated, nevertheless, despite the smell from the dark, weak spot on the cement floor from a pipe's abiding leak. The walls were painted with blossoms and birds, vines that curled with the swoop of a green apple peel paid off the blade of a knife, all touched with gold, as though beyond the gray-blue illumination of fluorescent light, a sun was alive in the glamour of these hours. A naked woman knelt on a flowered couch, wearing a black hat. I wandered among the easels, and several times Rothko came through Denver to see my father on his way to Boulder. In the sandbox, the one where cats left redolent turds breaded with sand, I was spiteful to his daughter. The terrible and savage dog days roared over us, which is to say it was August, and across the street, side by side, were five houses of Lutheran immigrants, Germans, who would work in the slaughterhouses and who had arrived en masse from their village north of Dora Nordhausen, a camp for prisoners too weak or ill to work at Buchenwald. I became friends with one of the daughters, a girl my age, in whose house the old-fashioned roller blinds were smugly drawn in every room to protect the wax flowers from the sun. She lived in an abiding twilight. Her father was a thin, leggy, grim, silent man who every morning before work cracked 12 raw eggs into a tall glass and drank them down while standing in the bubble of damp light expelled by the open icebox. With her, I learned to polka, and I went to church. And at church, I was beguiled by the ceiling's turquoise skies, where two languorous, innocent cherubs leaned together like lovers on their dreamy cloud. My early poems were filmic, like B movies. And like noirs, my poems had immunity from big picture constraints. They had plots with obscure motivations that seemed the consequence of being hastily written, as though there was never enough time. Noirs could get away with things. They could be risque. B films empowered me to write B poetry with characters, situations, and events I thought not possible or permissible in more classical and decorous A poetry. In my noirs, too, there were no ideas but in images. And when I look back, I think of the figure of my father as a kind of unpaid extra drafted into the work of these poems. In one, he has to stand beside the abstract expressionist canvases of Arshile Gorky's high art. Collecting the evidence. At the movies, I identify with the coroner. I enter the body. The movies teach me I am a dead man when I look at a dead man. Every image is a mirror. Every soundtrack is a gun. This is a movie about a blonde woman. On the screen, for the first time, I feel I see my mother in something that is not my mother. In the dark theater, I don the heavy patent leather pocketbook with its bolus of dirty bills. A phone rings as it is rigged to ring, and the rain struggles from left to right through the dark. I stand and wait for the inspired freight of my future to arrive. And when the door opens, I become the gun with its neat rank of slugs. I am the hive of the blast. The camera says, perform the autopsy. She is the evidence. I learn to cut and open, weigh and analyze, learn to deduce her crimes. The body lies in disarray. Whatever happened here, whatever is meant by happen, whatever is meant by here, the killing is clear. And you, dirt of my flesh, you in the dark theater are part of it. You who will otherwise have a very ordinary life. I'm almost at the end here. Okay, hang on. Highway Motel. The days go online forever. Snow descends. Get out of bed, citizens of the temporary. It's 3 a.m. A woman in heels and a dress drags a pink suitcase across the moody, unlit parking lot. I come here to feel extinct. And also, this motel has the biggest desks, running from the king bed to the kitchenette. Nothing is real tonight. The crows talking to themselves in the dark. What can one say between empires? The bolt is rusty, the computer jammed. Parked at a door, a large white van, because I have become an address to visit. A man in a cap writing something on a sliver of paper. To write, to seduce, to triumph. But among my books I find literature, death without peace, and beyond the window, unroomed night downpouring. And this is the last one. And my father died in exile. At that time, angry, erotic, nervy girl, red lips, severe skirts. I was checking my poems for imperfections in New York City at the Chelsea Hotel. Thank you.